The title of today's message is The Law of the Spirit of Life. Now, I know that as we get into this, it's going to change into something a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and walking with Him and according to Him and so on. But this is where we're starting off. God just kind of led me to put this in here as this title, because as you're going to find out, the law of the Spirit of Life is what sets us free from the law of sin and death. And as we get into discussing that, it'll help set the pace for what God wants to do for us. Amen. Now, over the last few weeks, I've actually meditated on this. I actually got this message a few weeks back, and I wrote it down, did some preliminary study around it, and as I did, God laid it out for me how He wanted me to teach this with you guys. But I've noticed that spiritually, just seeing spiritually, that there's a lot of condemnation in the body of Christ, and I was noticing that, you know, and when I was doing my readings, I actually ran across this when I was doing my scripture reading, and it really hit me between the eyes just how there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, this is taken out of Romans chapter 8, and in, like it says in verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the whole point of this is God doesn't want us living and walking in condemnation, and He's given us the path to get free from that condemnation. Amen. And a lot of people are under condemnation. A lot of Christians are under condemnation, a lot of believers. And I've been praying about it for a while. I've been seeing it for a while, just the whole thing of that spirit of condemnation trying to come on us. I mean, even for myself, there have been times when I've had to deal with that, and so God began to He began to speak to me through this, okay, what the real issue is. Now, obviously, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, in this scripture, inherently in this scripture, you see here that even though we're in Christ, there's no condemnation. You know, there's not meant to be condemnation for us who are in Christ, but there's a choice. You can see here that really we could be in Christ, and yet we could still be walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. And that's the whole key thing here, what God's trying to get across to us through what Paul's writing, is how to get free from condemnation, how to get free from that sense of, you know, feeling like you have to keep a law in order to satisfy some requirement from God. All right. And so, and that's the whole thing here, is that, you know, it's to those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, being free from condemnation. That word condemnation literally means that an adverse sentence, the verdict, there defines it as damnatory sentence or condemnation, which means we feel like we're walking around with some kind of sentence of judgment upon us, and God wants us to be free from that. We are not meant to live and walk in that state, amen? But it's been clearly defined right here that it's not according to those who walk in the flesh, but according to those who walk in the Spirit, that you get free from that condemnation. But you as a believer could be in one or both. Now, what is that flesh? Now, you know, we have a tendency when we think of flesh that it's always sin. Flesh doesn't necessarily mean sin. The word actually is the word sarx, and there's two words for the word body. One is sarx and the other one is soma. Soma deals with the body as a whole, whereas, and healthy and so on, whereas sarx deals more with the nature of the body, the nature of flesh, the nature of being physical, okay? And I'm using Thayer's definition here because it's a lot more clear than Strong's is on this whole thing. He defines sarx as the body, and then he defines it as the sensuous nature of man. And that sensuous nature, and it's something that you have to kind of look at it this way, it's what appeals to us to our eyes, to our mind, to our physical senses, all right? And sensuousness, I mean, if you were to look at as women, if you looked at a man, or if as a man you look at women, and they're sensuous looking to you, it's because they're appealing to your eyes and appealing to your senses. There's something that they're carrying, that's carrying across from that person to you, that stirs up that sensuous nature in you. you know, that animal nature in you. And there goes on to define the flesh as it denotes mere human nature. I mean, it's just human nature. And I've heard many of people say at times, well, I'm just human. I'm human. That's right. And if we stay in that mode of just being human, we're going to end up, you know, being under the control of the flesh, of that nature. Now, when we're talking about the flesh, guys, keep in mind, I don't want to focus on sin, you know, the flesh of sin, like adultery or fornication or, you know, strife and anger and covetousness and things like that. What I want us to focus on is just, you know, that just the nature of man, you know, that side of man. And this is part of Thayer's definition. It's the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. In other words, if we take God out of the picture, there's a side of us that, you know, may not really necessarily, you know, be sinning per se, but is in that state of that nature of man. And, you know, where they're just living in accordance with how their earth human nature dictates, okay? And it puts us in a place where it says, you know, the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence, and Thayer goes on to say, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. So if we're giving into, you know, letting our human nature dictate how we walk, all right, if we're letting our human nature, our earthly nature dictate how we walk, then it's going to put us in opposition to God. It's going to put us outside the divine influence of God and in opposed to God. And so God's not going to be able to have that influence on us that he desires to have now. He wants, you know, he saved us in order to have a relationship with us. God wants to be relating to us. He wants to build him out a family that he can live with and be one with and fill and be a part of our lives and so on. And so that's God's desire. But if we're even though we're born again, if we're tending to walk according to our earthly nature, we're gonna be prone to sin. But worse, we're going to be opposed to God, all right? And it's going to end up, and this is the final part of Thayer's definition I put up here, that the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. In other words, if we're given more to yielding to the earthly nature, our sensuous nature, our human nature, and we're letting that dictate our lives, it's going to begin to govern us through our souls. It's going to govern our souls. And it's going to govern our lives. And we need to understand that. Now, the word walk there, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That word walk there defines it as to walk, to make one's way, progress, to make due use of opportunities. But it also, and I like this part, and this is the part that I really want to focus on, is to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, or to pass one's life. And see, if we're regulating our life based on what our human nature is dictating how we should be, then we're going to be in opposition to God. We're not going to be walking in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And you got to understand, there's no middle ground here. There's no way of bringing these two things together, to mingle them together. And I think that a lot of believers are trying to do this, is that they're trying to live according to their human nature, but at the same time trying to live for God and according to God and everything else. And it doesn't work. It turns into something that's more like works righteousness or legalism or something like that. But in the truth of it, they're governed by that human nature, that flesh, that human nature that is in all of us. And we've got to learn to turn away from it. That's the old man. I mean, that was nailed to the cross. We're to keep the old man under our feet. We're to keep, because human nature, there's a general concept of human nature, and then there's the specific concept of your human nature and who you are just as a natural person, a mere human, or a, you know, earthly, of an earthly nature and in your sensuous nature. And that sensuousness, you know, going back to that for a second, that could be exhibited in, you know, the need to feel, you know, in the sense of sexually or whatever, but it could also carry the whole idea of food, you know, of the sensuous nature of food to taste and enjoy and have and eat and consume. And it could also be covetous in a sense of feeding, you know, having luxury in what you want in life. You know, there's more avenue to it. And you know, God talks about it in 1 John, where it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, okay? Those are all part of that sensuous nature of man. What makes you feel like somebody, what makes you feel bigger and better, you know, than you would otherwise. That's pride, okay? And then, you know, the whole thing of lust of the eyes and the lust of, and you know, the lust of the flesh and so on. Those things are, they're the lust. They're the feeling things. They're the things that are derived out of desires that mark each and every one of us. And they could be the same as others, but they could also be different, okay? And so you need to understand that your nature, your human nature, what makes you just a human without God, that tendency is something that you can't let get hold of your life and govern you. You got to walk away from that. You got to put that away and start walking according to the Spirit. Well, Pastor, you know, what about, you know, God wants us to enjoy stuff. God wants us to be blessed. You know, we're here in the earth. Yeah, but this earth is dead because of sin. You know, the law of the sin of death is what's ruling in this world, as you're going to see. And you need to understand that everything has been corrupted and it's wrong. It's off, you know, and so, as a result, so are you. What seems right to you could be something that leads you straight to death. All right. And you need to understand that. You need to get that. Okay. So our goal, we need to understand that what separates us from the world is the fact that we're not walking according to the flesh. We're not trying to bring God into who we are as just human people. We're walking according to the Spirit. We're putting aside the dictates and demands and who we were in the flesh. We're putting that aside and we're beginning to walk in accordance with the Spirit. We're letting the Holy Spirit, and that's what the word Spirit there is referring to. It's funny because Thayer defines this. The first definition Thayer gives is the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. You know, and then it shows Romans 8, 9 in there, which we're going to get to that shows that it is referring to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that taught that this is more talking about the spirit of the man, that we walk according to our born-again spirits. No, it's talking about walking according to the Spirit of God. Now, there are places in Romans 8 here that I'm going to get into that refer to Spirit in a different way. But for the most part, you're going to find out when it's talking about walking according to the Spirit, it's definitely talking about walking according to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of God. Amen? And we need to remember that. Now, all right, so going on from here, you know, we've covered this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, God's not holding anything against anybody. There's no judgment against anybody that's walking according to the Spirit. But if you're walking according to the flesh, you can't get in that place of no condemnation, as I shared. And the reason for that is verse 2, the word for there is the word gar, and it indicates a reason for. So the reason why that can't be is because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that word law there is the word nomos in the Greek, and it means, you know, law, like through the prescriptive idea of prescriptive usage. And prescriptive usage means it's like if you go to a doctor and the doctor prescribes a drug to you that you should take from now on, start taking because it'll help you in the body where you have a deficiency, then that's like a law to you. You do it, you go do it because it's been prescribed for you to do that. And when you look at the Mosaic Law or the Ten Commandments even, you look at what it commands us, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's law. That's a prescriptive usage. This is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, do not commit murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not covet, so on. Those things are all prescriptions of how we are to behave and conduct ourselves. And that's just the Ten Commandments. You get into the Levitical law, and there's a whole slew of a couple thousand of those laws that are in there that, you know, that are required for us, you know, not for us, but for the Jews to complete. So, you know, that's where they were at. And nobody could do it. Nobody could keep the law of Moses perfectly. It was impossible. Nobody can do that. Amen. And so that word law there, going further into the definition, it also means generally regulation. You know, this is a regulatory requirement. Like when somebody builds a house, they, You know, there's certain things that they're required by law to do to build a house, the specifications for how to build a house, how to lay the foundation, build the walls, and so on. They're required by law to do it a certain way, and that's to make the building safest as possible for those that are going to inhabit it. Specifically, it's of Moses, including the volume. That's where that gets into. But what I like is at the end there, it says, or figuratively, a principle. In other words, it's the principle of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's a real thing. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the principle or law of sin and death. Now, the law of the Spirit of life, and you get into this, it's the word life there is the word Zoe, of course. And I like Thayer's definition. Strong just says life. Thayer gives a little bit more to it. It says the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate, life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. In other words, there's this state of being that's possessed with vitality and animate. It's animate, it's active, okay? It's real, it's genuine. It's active and vigorous. And of course, it's devoted to God. This life that we're called to is a life that's devoted to God. If you don't want to live your life devoted to God, you don't have to. You know, that's your choice. Now, the consequences may not be what you want, but that's going to be the result of it, all right? But if we're going to walk with Christ, if we're going to walk with God, then, you know, we want to be devoted to God. We want to give ourselves to God and to pleasing Him, because He saved us from our sins. He saved us from hell. Amen. So we want to be devoted to God. Amen. And so for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that law, that principle, you know, that what was created when Jesus came to the earth, was born, was raised, preached, ministered, died on the cross, was raised from the dead. He unleashed this principle, this power, this force that can govern our lives, and it can govern the planet of our lives. All right? You know, everything that's physical that involves us, it can affect and influence that for each of us that are walking according to the Spirit, because it's the law of the Spirit of life. All right? Now, the life that a lot of people are going after is a natural bios kind of life, where it's all about making money and it's living good and living luxuriously. Whereas for us, you know, it's a life that's filled with reality. It's genuine. It's full of vitality. It's connected to God. It's being blessed every day, walking around knowing and seeing just how much you're blessed. Amen. And that's the Spirit of life that God wants us to live in and walk in. So if we're walking according to the Spirit, it's the Spirit of life. We'll walk in that life. It's connected directly to the Holy Spirit. And even though Jesus said in John 10:10, you know, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he's not really, I'll say he is a little bit. He's talking about us being blessed in the earth. But predominantly, he's talking about that spiritual life. You got to remember when Jesus, at the end of that book of John, and I think it's John 20 something, you know, he comes to his disciples after he was raised from the dead, and he breathes on them, and he talks about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, that he will be like, you know, rivers of living water coming out of them. You know, that the Holy Spirit is the source of that life. And what God wants is, he wants us so yielded to the Holy Spirit so that force of life can flow out of us and begin to affect everything around us, causing it to become alive, to be active, to flourish, and so on. Amen. And it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. Because that's what Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Made me free from the law of sin and death. That word free there is literally the word eleutherō, and it means to liberate. Thayer defines it as to liberate, to exempt from moral, ceremonial, or mortal liability. Thayer just defines it as to make free, to set at liberty, and from the dominion of sin. See, that's, God wants us free on the level of not doing, you know, freedom isn't about us doing what we want to do and doing our own thing and you know, and then God just putting his hand, you know, stamp of approval on it. That's not the way it works. What that freedom is about is to be free from the power of sin, free from the consequence of sin, free from the control of the devil, free from the control of the flesh. God wants us free from that. And as a result, free from the law of sin and death. And of course, the word from there just means away from something near. In other words, we were under the law of sin and death. We were ruled by the law of sin and death. And God wants us, God, through Christ, has made us free from the law of sin and death. We've been liberated, set free from the principle, the power, the force of the law of sin and death that I personally believe governs this entire planet. And I believe that's the reason why God's got to, he's got to get rid of the old heaven and the earth. He folds them up like a garment and gets rid of them. Because that law was permanent. That law of sin and death was permanent. And even though Jesus is going to come back 1,000 years and reign, we still will never be able to completely get rid of that sin and death that rules over the planet. It was corrupted by it. And so God's going to get rid of the whole planet, the whole heaven above it, and so on. I don't know if he's going to get rid of the universe or not. That's up to him. But if he does, no big deal. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? And it says, in which righteousness dwells. See, right now, you know, righteousness cannot just dwell in the earth. It doesn't work like that. What's ruling in the earth is that law of sin and death. It's sin is ruling, and as a consequence of sin, death is ruling right on the heels of it. All right? And God wants you free from that. He wants you out from underneath that law. And that's the way he did it, was through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, you look up the word sin, and it's the word hamartia, which just means sin in general. It's just properly that word is the abstract word for sin, inclusive of all that it can entail. Thayer defines it as that which is done wrong, sin, an offense, a violation of the divine law in thought or in act. All right, so, I mean, this affects the way you think, and you're going to see how, you know, living and walking according to the Spirit involves all aspects of who we are, just physically, and just in our natural sense of who we are as people. But it says the law of sin, you know, being in that state of constantly in violation of what's right, you know, and doing what's wrong, which is in divine law. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you've broken the first commandment. Those that are in the world that do not know God and don't want to have anything to do with them, they're in a state of sin because they don't honor God, they don't worship God, they haven't given God his place. You know, because the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord your God before, you know, love the Lord your God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And in another place, it talks about that you shall have no other gods before you. And yet these people will live their lives worshiping money, worshiping beauty, worshiping, you know, fame, worshiping power. Okay. I mean, they worship all kinds of things. I mean, they have all kinds of gods before them. And so God's seeking to deliver us from the power of these things that cause death and destruction for us. And in the long run, it just puts us to hell. I mean, and that's what death, the final result of it is right here in the definition of death. There defines the word death. It's the word thanatos in the Greek, and he defines it as that separation, whether natural or violent, of the soul and the body by which the life on earth is ended, with the implied idea of future misery and hell. The future misery and hell. And that's what death carries, that sentence. And if a person isn't born again, if a person never accepts Jesus, and the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus doesn't set them free from the law of sin and death, not only do they just die physically, whether it's violently or naturally, they will end up in the future misery of hell. And that's what God's obviously trying to prevent. And for us, you know, we're the ones that we've accepted Christ. We know the Lord Jesus. We believe on the Lord Jesus. And so there's not meant to be that condemnation, that overarching and overhanging condemnation over us, you know, of the future misery in hell. That's not for us. And the only way, though, that we can walk free from that is if we walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit. We got to walk according to the Holy Spirit. Amen. This next verse here is a real clincher for us. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. For, Now, that word for there is the word gar in the Hebrew, and it literally means to assign a reason, whether used in argument, explanation, or intensification. It's to assign a reason. The reason is what came before. You know, those that are, you know, they do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, let's break this down. The reason that that's important to us, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the reason that's valid for us, you know, is that the law, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, let's break this down. All right? Notice the word law is in there twice. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and then the law of sin and death. Now, the word law there, actually, it's the word nomos in the Greek, and it just means law through the idea of prescriptive usage. It's the Strong's. Prescriptive usage, in other words, God's commanded us, you know, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you know, you should not covet. Those kinds of things that, you know, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbors, yourself. Okay, that's laws. Those are laws that God gave us as prescriptive usages. In other words, these are what we're supposed to be doing. The law of the Spirit. Now, generally, and then generally, it also means regulation, specifically of Moses, including the volume. And then it can also include the gospel, also of the gospel. But figuratively, it means a principle. All right? Now, in verse 2 here, I believe that Paul is using the word law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is something that has been set forth as a prescriptive usage. In other words, this is a mandate. This is a mandate. It is a command. It is something that is to hold sway over us, all right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the law of the Spirit of life. It's to hold sway. It's to have control over us. And again, that Spirit is the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, all right? And the word life there is the word Zoe. I didn't even bother putting that in, but it's the law of the Spirit of life. In other words, to access the life that's in Christ, it's required, we're required to do so through the Spirit. Jesus said in John 10:10, he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But if you go back to the end of John, I mean, if you go to the end of John, from John 10:10 to the end of John, Jesus talks to his disciples and talks about the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit would come, that when he would come, there was a difference between, you know, him coming up as a well of water and him flooding out of us as rivers of living water. And so the Holy Spirit came. Part of why he came wasn't just to help us, to lead us and guide us and do those things, but he's the source of that life. He is the one that will cause the rivers of living water to pour out of us. That's the Holy Spirit. So the law of the Spirit of life is to flood our lives with life. That's the principle. The Holy Spirit is here to flood our lives with life. To flood us with life. To fill us with life. To cause us, you know, cause us to flourish in that life. That's what he's here to do. And the law of the Spirit of life, which the Holy Spirit is, in Christ Jesus, which means we have to be in Christ Jesus for it to work for us, it won't work for somebody that's not in Christ Jesus. Just because somebody says they believe in God doesn't mean they're in Christ Jesus. And so that doesn't work for them. But because we're in Christ Jesus, it works for us. And in the process, it frees us from the law of sin and death, which is the Mosaic law. The demand and requirement, including the volume, to keeping all of the law that no man could keep perfectly. And what's that law called? It's called the law of sin and death. He made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you could look at it as being the Mosaic law, which is the, you know, the law that causes us, you know, that as a result of us not being able to keep it, you know, it sin comes. But the law is perfect. It's us that can't keep the law. So I would like to look at this a little bit different than just the Mosaic law. I would like to look at this as talking about the principle, the law of sin and death. In other words, what sin and death, what is produced when a person sins, the death that comes as a result of sin. Now you need to understand that when you accepted Jesus, the moment you prayed and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you got born again, the moment you made that commitment, you repented of your sins, you prayed in the name of Jesus, you asked the Lord to become your Lord, you thank God for saving you through Jesus, you believe that He was your Lord, that He died for your sins, that He was raised from the dead. The moment you do that, or you did that, the law of the Spirit of life came into you, flooded you, and washed out the law of sin and death. In other words, the law that sin and death, the control that sin and death had over you, it made you free from. And the word free there is the word Eller Thoreau, and it means to liberate. It liberated you. It made you exempt from moral, ceremonial, or mortal liability. Thayer defines it as to make free, to set at liberty from the dominion of sin. To set at liberty from the dominion of sin. What's the dominion of sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. And so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free. It flushed us free of all the effects of sin and death at that moment. That's why when a person gets born again, they feel like brand new. I mean, there's this life in them. They feel this joy. They feel this peace. And it's because they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They've been cleansed by their faith, by the Spirit of God coming into them and flooding them with life. The new birth. That's what would be considered the new birth. Amen. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, in order to walk in the law of the Spirit of life. Now, we've already been born again. I mean, I've been born again 50-something years ago. Okay? More than that, probably. It was 1972. 56 years ago. No, 62? No, 52. I don't know. Something like that. Over 50. Amen. And for me, if I wasn't careful, and I've actually done this, I've actually gone, you know, gotten to where I've allowed the old man, I've allowed that carnal nature, that flesh, you know, which is human nature, that sensuous side of human nature, that earthly nature, that, you know, begin to have more influence on my soul than the Spirit of God. I've been there, I've done it. And when that happens, it starts pushing you away from God. Now, for us in a situation, when I was in that situation, when I realized what was going on, this was a long time ago when it happened to me, when I realized what was going on, I stopped and said, you know what, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm allowing the old nature to come in and get a hold of me. And it began to affect me in a way that made me open to things that I wasn't open to before. And so, you know, I had to make the decision. If I'm going to walk according to the flesh, or am I going to walk according to the Spirit? Am I going to conduct my life? How am I going to do that? And so I made the changes that I needed to make, and I started moving my life and moving my walk. And it may not be something that happens overnight. It's your walk. You know, it's your progress. You know, it's how you've been regulating your life. You're going to have to make, and that can become very habitual if you're not careful. How you conduct yourself. This could be just a manner of how we live and conduct ourselves. And I had to go back and I had to change how I was regulating my life. I had to change how I was conducting my life. And I had to give myself more to spiritual things, more to the Holy Spirit. And as I did that, now listen to me very carefully. Your righteousness is from God. Your righteousness isn't from your perfection. Your righteousness is from God. God's the one that assigns righteousness. He's the one that accounts righteousness to us. It comes from God. And it comes from, you know, God doing it by seeing that we're sincere. We're sincere in our faith, and we're sincere in our desire to be close to Him. We're sincere in walking with Him and being everything that Jesus set us free to be and what He's called and ordained us to be. That we want that. We want to walk with God. Because that's what walking with God is. And so as I set myself to do that, I started moving more towards spiritual things. It started, and that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus began to free me from that law of sin and death. You know, me that comes out of that nature of that of the flesh, the carnal nature of man, the earthly nature of man that tends to be opposed to God and open to sin. All right? It just and so you got to understand that those are the things we're dealing with, all right? So the key to this, the key to walking free from that condemnation, and this is kind of what I'm getting at, is to recognize that if you're under that, you're feeling that on any level, like you're missing up and you're missing something, you're doing something not right, you have questions about your salvation, you've been saved, you know you believe on the Lord, you know you love God, but yet you're feeling that disconnect on that level, then it's, you know, you've given too much room for the flesh in your life. You've given too much room for that sensuous human earthly nature that marks who you are. And so it's that, and it drives you apart from divine influence, okay? And so you got to start seeking after that influence from God. Start pushing towards letting God have influence in your life, leading and guiding you by the Holy Spirit, because this is going to be important as we go along. This is going to become important, all right? Now, the word sin there is the word hamartia, where it says at the end, free from, when the word from there means away from, sin and death, the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, you know, is a principle that operates in the earth that causes destruction. That's the law of sin and death. That's the way I look at it. I don't particularly look at this as being of the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law is perfect. And if life and righteousness could have been given by the law, then God would have done it that way. But it couldn't. And so we had to go through the process of a sacrifice that would redeem us back to God. But then in this case here, the law of sin and death is the principle of sin and death that's at work in the earth today. That law of sin and death is completely still at work. It's going to be at work until this earth is done away with. That's the reason why he's going to get rid of the heavens and the earth. And he's going to bring a new heavens and the earth, because the way he says it in Revelations is that he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Right now, we're in a heaven and an earth right now where righteousness does not dwell. You know, and I find myself praying when I pray for the country and stuff like that in the world, I pray that righteousness dwells. You know, I keep asking God, Father, I'm asking, Father God, that righteousness have place in this earth, that sin and the flesh and you know what man is trying to create that's destructive to your work, Father God, that would be broken, that it would come to nothing, and that righteousness would dwell in its place. So it's the principle of sin and death. It's always at work, people. It's always at work. Understand that. It's always at work. And if you get out from underneath the umbrella, you're born again, you love God, God's your Father, you're His child, but you can make yourself subject to the law of sin and death if you're not careful. And the way to overcome that is to walk according to the Spirit. That's the only way to overcome it. Amen. Now, let's go on. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us who walk according to the Spirit. All right? Romans 8:3-4. For what the law could not do. Now see, you know, Paul's definitely, you know, the law of sin and death. He's definitely referencing it to the law of Moses here. All right? And so it, you know, it is talking, it could be referring to the law of Moses here, but I like it more, the law of sin and death being that principle of sin and death that's at work in the world, because for us as believers, if we're not walking in the Spirit, we could be subjecting ourselves to the law of sin and death and not even realize it, not even be aware of it. But going on with what Paul's saying here, he says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law could not do it. It could not save us in the sense from sin. You know, it could not help us. It could not stop the power of sin. All right? Because it was weak through the flesh. You know, and so what the law could not do, which is the word adunatos, which means it was impossible or unable to be done or impossible. That's theirs definition. It could not do. It was impossible. It could not save us. It could not redeem us from the law of sin and death. What it could not do, because it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the flesh was the means by which, you know, the law became our judgment and our destruction rather than our salvation. Amen. It was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own son. You know, he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the word likeness here is the word homoioma, which means a form. Abstractly, it means a resemblance. Thayer defines it as that which has been made after the likeness of something, has been made after the likeness of something. So Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh, even though he had not committed sin in the flesh. Now, how was that possible? I'm going to share something with you. I'm probably getting off track here, and this is kind of an aside. But since I started talking about it, I don't see why I can't just go on with it. But the reason why God could do that with Jesus was that sin was never accounted until man ate the fruit. Now, you got to remember that. You got to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and you got to read that. You know, Eve was deceived, but the man was not. And she ate of the fruit and nothing happened. Nothing happened until she gave the fruit to Adam and Adam ate of the fruit. The moment he ate of the fruit, their eyes were opened. Now, this is significant for us today because, see, that's why God had to bring Jesus in through a virgin birth, is because with a woman, and ladies, don't get high-minded about this, okay, because you're all in sin still. I mean, Mary was, you know, she committed sin. I mean, she was a sinner. I mean, there was no way around that. But God, there was no accounting of sin through the woman until the man ate the fruit, which did happen, and so sin came into the world. And all of their eyes, all of our eyes, everybody's eyes were open to both good and evil. All right? Now, God brought Jesus through the seed of the Word, which was perfect. There was no sin in it. There was no sin from God. And so when he inseminated Mary with that seed, Jesus came in the likeness of a man, but there was no sin in him. There couldn't be any sin in him because of what happened with Adam and Eve. There was no accounting of sin until Adam ate the fruit. And so that's why Jesus was able to be born sinless and grow up sinless. He still could sin. That was still a choice he could make, but he didn't make that choice. He did everything that God had called him to do. He fulfilled all that God gave him, and he went to the cross, he died on the cross, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And he was taken up into heaven, seated at the right hand of God. All right, so he is in the likeness. Now, God did by what the law could not do because we couldn't keep the law, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's why it's likeness of sinful flesh, because, you know, Mary, you know, she wasn't perfect, but yet God was able to not have to account sin because of how it happened between Adam and Eve. All right. So he came in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin or because of sin, you know, with respect to sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now listen to what it says here. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's the word katakrino, to judge against, to sentence, to give judgment against, to judge worthy of punishment, to condemn. All right? He condemned sin in the flesh. Now look at This is important because he judged sin in the flesh because he stayed righteous. Jesus stayed righteous, never sinned. He condemned sin in the flesh by him being able to keep his righteousness and never sinning. But there was purpose behind it, not to just hold it over us and say, you know, we were failures. His reason for coming was to set us free. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law, that the righteous, he condemns sin in the flesh. In other words, people, all you're ever going to find in the flesh, all you're ever going to find in the natural human nature, and, you know, that sensuous nature, all you're going to find is sin. It's always going to lead and take you to sin in some form or other. Okay? But he condemned it in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. All right? The righteous requirement is actually one word, and it means the statute or decision. There defines it as that which has been deemed right so as to have force of law, judicial decision, or sentence. In other words, what Jesus did, he died righteous. In dying righteous, he condemned sin in the flesh and said, that is judged now. But he fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law and made it capable of God not having, capable of us, you know, that judicial decision for us to be fulfilled in us, that we might be declared righteous. So the righteous requirement of the law was fulfilled in us. It was fulfilled for us, amen? But Jesus, this is what Paul's saying here. He's saying that it was limited. In other words, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In other words, if we're walking according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, then the righteous requirement of the law is being fulfilled in us, has been fulfilled in us. This is not something that did when we, this is not something that happened or happens when we get born again. The initial cleansing happens when we get born again. But after that, we've got to continue to walk in the Spirit. Because what does it say here? It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk, peripateo, who do not walk according, okay, who do not walk according, where am I at? I got lost here. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Are you guys getting this? In other words, and the word according there, and I didn't underline them, but I put it in here. It's the word kata. Thayer defines that word as according to, toward, or along. Now, what he's saying, if you put that in here, the law, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled for us. It's fulfilled in us who do not walk, who do not regulate our life or conduct ourselves or pass our lives according to the flesh, toward the flesh, or along with the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Toward the Spirit and along with the Spirit. In other words, we're changing where our focus lies. And if we put our focus on the Holy Spirit and walking according to the Spirit, then the requirement of the law is fulfilled for us. And we're no longer under any kind of condemnation. And so the key thing here is that if you find yourself messed up and you've gotten in strife or you've gotten in sin of some sort, or you know, you feel like you just disconnected with God, what you need to do at this moment is obviously, you know, tell God, you know, I apologize for being in sin, you know, confess your sin out to the Father. But what you need to do in order to truly move on from that is start putting your attention on the Spirit, on walking according to the Spirit. Now, I haven't even talked about yet what that means, and I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get into what all of that means. But I need you to understand that when not only are you no longer condemned, but the law is fulfilled for you because you are walking according to the Spirit. We're not walking according to the flesh. We're walking according to the Spirit, and because of that, We're declared as hagios. We're saints of God. We're holy to the Lord. Not because we're perfect, not because we're doing everything perfectly, but because we're striving after the things of the Spirit. We're striving to walk according to the Spirit. And because we're walking according to the Spirit, it's rendered to us. It's accounted to us as done, as fulfilled. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled. And so all of a sudden that condemnation just lifts off of it, off of us. It falls off of us. So we need to understand that this is how important it is to walk according to the Spirit. If you're tired of being under condemnation, if you're tired of feeling like you're separated from God, if you're tired of feeling like, you know, it's like, man, I just feel like I'm taking a shower with my clothes on. You know, things don't seem right. I don't feel connected like I need to. Then the key to this is to move away from the naturalness of how you're living your life and move towards the spiritual side of it. Even the word, people. God gave me the scripture earlier, and it just plays right off of what Eva said about that the word of God is it, when in the prophecy this morning, she said, you know, she talked about you know, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's not just the physical word of God. You need to understand that there's a whole spiritual side to the word of God. Let me read a passage to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Verse 2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. I'm hoping you guys are starting to see this a little bit. You know, what's going on is what the work of our lives is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And that's why I make it this is my habit. I'm not sufficient because of me. You know, I don't think of anything as being from me, regardless of whether I have the talent of it or not. You know, I look at it as coming from God. My sufficiency is from God, not from me. And so when you realize that, when you really sit down and realize how much God is at work in your life, that this is the work of the Spirit in your life, that God is moving on your behalf. He's inspiring you. He's given you talent. He's given you the ability to see things otherwise. You know, it's funny because when you think about Moses in the wilderness, when they built the tabernacle of meeting, Moses said, well, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do any of this. And God said, no, you've got men in your camp. And he gave the name of these men that are skilled in all these different things. And I've given them the spirit of wisdom to take what I've said to you and make it come to pass. They'll take it and make it happen. And it's because God gave them the spirit of wisdom to do it. They already had talent. But God gave them that spirit of wisdom to go beyond the limitations of their own ability to see. Because I'll be honest with you, when you read what God tells Moses to do to build the tabernacle of meeting and the Ark of the Covenant and everything else, I mean, oh my God, it just like doesn't even make sense. But for them, when they saw it, it made total sense. Because God gave them the wisdom. He gave them that spirit of wisdom. He passed it off to them by the Spirit of God to go get it done. All right. And it goes on to say, verse 5 goes on to say, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Now, I've read all this to you for verse 6. Who also made us sufficient as the ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. Are you listening to me? The letter kills. The letter of the new covenant kills. He goes on to say, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But the Spirit gives life. So our whole goal in walking with God and walking, you know, in accordance with God is to walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us life. It's the Spirit of the New Testament that comes alive to us, that causes us to truly not just understand, but to be able to apply and take advantage of what God has done for us through Jesus. I mean, we already know, I already shared this and taught this message about, you know, all the things that God has done for us. He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. I mean, God keeps bringing me back to the Holy Spirit, bringing me back to us walking in the Spirit and stop walking in the flesh, stop walking in the natural. You get into a place that if you're walking naturally all the time, you're not going to know what to do. And at the wrong time, you could freeze up and it could cost you your life. God's calling us to get beyond that, to stop giving place to that and start walking in accordance with the Spirit. People, listen to me. There are some of you that still want to live your life on this planet. I know I was young and I was one of them. I wanted to be married. I wanted to enjoy this. I wanted to have that. I wanted to do this. But I also wanted to serve God. And fortunately, I at least gave it 50-50. But the point is that when we live our lives based on what we want, what we feel like, what we really think is important to us, we miss the whole point of the life that God has given to us. And we bind ourselves back into the natural things, the natural flesh, the natural nature of man. That natural, let me go back up here and look at it. It's that animal, sensuous animal nature of man. The flesh, human nature, earthly nature, man apart from divine influence. We live our lives apart from divine influence. And it's not that God doesn't want to influence us. It's not that He's not there. It's that they're incompatible. You're going to see as I go through this how just incompatible the flesh is with spiritual things. It's incompatible. It cannot receive. It cannot respond. You're going to see it. It's going to blow your mind. All right? But it's been fulfilled in us. The righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to stop here for today, and then we'll pick up on this next week. Amen? Praise God.